Hello, you're listening to Rav Danny Eisenberg. Welcome to the podcast. Today I want to discuss a very relevant issue, the issue of religion and morality and what the relationship between them is. Must one have religion in order to be moral? Can you be moral without religion? Etc. So it actually comes up in this week's parasha because Avraham is traveling. He goes to live in the area of Gerar in the land of the Plishtim, and he's living under the rule of the king Avimelech. At any rate, when he arrives, Avraham, as he has done in the past, he feels threatened that if the people think that he is Sarah's husband, they will take him and kill him, and take Sarah, and the king of the Plishtim, Avimelech, will take Sarah for himself. And therefore, Avraham follows the practice that he has done in the past to say that she's his sister. So Avimelech, in the end, thinking that Sarah is his sister, so doesn't do anything to Avraham, but he takes Sarah. And then Hashem comes to Avimelech and tells him that he is liable. He's going to be put to death, or he's worthy of death, because he has taken the wife of another man. Avimelech comes along and says, well, it's not my fault. He told me it's his sister. What was I supposed to do? And anyway, so Avimelech comes back to Avraham the next day, and he tells him, what have you done? You're causing us to do a terrible sin. That's really an immoral thing that you've did to us by lying to us and leading us astray. So Avraham responds and he says, and Avimelech asks, why did you do this? So Avraham responds and he says, well, I said, Ki amarti rak en yiriyat Elokim b'makom hazeh. I said there is just simply no fear of God in this place. V'haraguni al dvarishti, they will kill me over my wife. What is Avraham saying? In effect, he's saying that there's no fear of God. Now here he makes the interesting suggestion. What does he mean by there's no fear of God? What's the relevance of that? So Rashi, based on the Gemara, in Makot says that, well, Yirat Elokim is another way of saying morality. If there's no fear of God, that means people are not moral. And it goes into a description of how Avimelech spoke to him. Essentially, Avimelech, when he arrived, Avimelech and his people were asking, who's this woman? Is she your sister? Is she your wife? Avraham could see that they were immoral and then what their intentions were, and therefore he felt compelled to lie. It wasn't an immoral thing on his part. He had no choice, and it was in fact their behavior that could be seen to be immoral. So that's how Rashi in the Gemara, Rashi's approach to understanding what's going on here, that Yirat Elokim is synonymous with morality. Fear of God is synonymous with morality. However, you have a very interesting alternative approach from the Malbim. The Malbim says as follows. He says, what was Avraham saying? Avraham wasn't saying these are immoral people. What Avraham was saying was that because these people... Because these people do not have fear of God, even if they're very, very well behaved, very cultured, morally upstanding people, when they're faced with a situation of temptation, when they're faced with a situation that really pushes them, and they don't feel that they have any responsibility to a higher being. No one's watching them. God's not watching. God's not judging them. If they don't have that concept of Yirat Elokim, even their moral standards may be pushed to the wayside, and they may end up committing acts of immorality. In fact, we can see from the events of the Holocaust that very high cultured nations and nations which express outwardly the principles of morality and decent behavior, nevertheless, when they were confronted with the situation of temptation, when they thought they could get away with it, getting rid of the Jews, so then suddenly their morality is swept away in a torrent of passion. Whether that's a correct understanding of the Holocaust or not is another story. But essentially, what the Malbim is saying is that in order for morals to stand up, you don't necessarily need religion to be moral. But what you do need is you need religion, you need Yirat Hashem, in order to have a sense of accountability that's going to keep you morally straight. That's the issue. So the way he puts it is, well, what is the person fearing? Well, it may be that they're fearing punishment. But the Malbim says that's part of it, but it's also the fact that they would be embarrassed to behave immorally in the presence of Hashem. That's the Yirat Elokim that we're talking about. Not necessarily fear, as in I'm scared that God is going to hurt me, but rather fear in the sense I have reverence and awe in front of God, and I feel I'm standing in front of God and He's watching what I'm doing. I would never behave in an immoral fashion. So here the Malbim is telling us how, according to the Malbim's model, religion is not essential for morality, but it is essential to ensure that people act morally in a consistent fashion. And even then, it doesn't always help. But if you have that sense of Yirat Elokim, then that will protect you from going astray. Now, that's the Malbim's position. But can we also suggest, is it really true? Can a person be moral without religion? And here we have an interesting discussion the Rambam has a famous discussion in Moreh Nevuchim, Guide for the Perplexed, regarding the story of Gan Eden, where he says that what was the result of eating from the tree of knowledge? What actually happened to man? According to the Torah, it sounds like man achieved the faculty of moral knowledge, moral understanding that he didn't possess before, which in fact means that by sinning, man actually was raised beyond the level that he had before he sinned, which is a little bit problematic, because why is God telling man he should not improve his intellect? It's the intellect and the moral sense that man has that separates us from the animals, that gives us our uniqueness. That's something that God should be encouraging and not forbidding. It doesn't make any sense. This was the question that was posed to the Rambam by a non-Jewish philosopher, and the Rambam has an amazing response. The Rambam says, well, you see that originally man had a moral sense, but the moral sense was dictated by objective morality, meaning that their morality, whether killing is right or wrong, is not an issue of, well, that's what I feel to be true, but rather it's something that is objectively true, that murder is a wrong, and that stealing is a wrong. These are moral truths, and not merely something that I feel is right or wrong. And that's really, according to the Rambam, this is what the state of Adam and Eve before the sin. That's how they understood morality. What happened after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what they established was da'at, was an experience, a sense of morality, which is independent of the objective morality, meaning man has his own independent sense of morality, which is not necessarily aligned with objective truth. Man did not possess from then on the same objective awareness of what is truly good and evil. And therefore, you can find places and people who devise their own moral principles based on alternative value systems. So you could have, for example, you could have philosophers like Nietzsche and the Nazis following that example to say that survival of the fittest is the way to live. That's the correct form of quote unquote morality or moral norms, and not based on your moral conscience. You might have a lot of people who, even using their moral conscience, will reach different conclusions. And this is based on the fact that morality became, instead of being an objective truth, it became a moral sense, something that you feel to be true, but not necessarily in alignment with objective truth. The result of this is to say that the way Rav Kook describes it in his book on Musar, on ethics, Musar Avicha, the Rav Kook essentially says that all of us have certain moral faculties. We have a sense of justice. We have a sense of kindness. We have qualities of different midot that we have, generosity, etc. And essentially all of the whole scale of human emotions and human moral qualities. But the way a person, in a particular case, the way a person actually, his moral compass, as it were, is not necessarily aligned with the objective truth. There is an objective truth out there which would have all the dials, so to speak, all our moral dials facing directly, straight up. But man is not like that. Man, our human nature, one person's kindness versus cruelty dial is skewed somewhat more towards kindness, somebody else's towards cruelty. You have different, depending on the particular moral quality, your dials are not necessarily aligned with objective truth. And therefore, The purpose this was something that happened after the sin of knowledge of good of eating from the tree of knowledge, that originally man's dials were all straight up, but essentially after the sin, the dials became distorted or off center, and therefore, even though a human being has a moral sense, that moral sense is not necessarily aligned with the objective truth. And therefore, we need the Torah in order to tell us what is objectively true morality and to train us how to align our moral sense with that morality. That is part of what the reason Hashem gave us the Torah with the halakha. God did not need to tell us that killing is bad because man is incapable of knowing that by himself, but man needs to align his moral sense to be aware that of what the objective, that it's objectively wrong, not just because from a utilitarian perspective, it does not help mankind, or whatever moral reasoning you employ, it's something that's based on objective reality. So this is an additional point, and this relates to the relationship between religion and morality, to say that yes, you can have morality without religion, but your morality is not necessarily going to be aligned with the ultimate morality, which is an objective sense, an objective moral system. You will have a subjective moral system which can be skewed, which can be distorted, and can be swayed one way or the other. And it needs to be, you need to have the religious principles of Torah in order to realign that morality. So when we come into contact with issues today, for instance, people talking about is circumcision, is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? Or when people talk about gay marriage, is that a good thing or a bad thing? So ultimately, we as Jews have to align, have to deal with these questions by looking at the Torah's perspective as an objective morality, and the Torah essentially addresses the topic, and it's through that prism that we evaluate the issue. We look at understanding from the Torah's perspective. Now, we may want to try and communicate to others our position. They may want to understand, well, why is the Torah? You know, they might criticize the Torah, and therefore we have to try and give an explanation. So the problem with doing so is we're going to be using our own subjective understanding of the Torah in order to explain its rationale, which might not actually conform and probably will not conform with God's objective rationale. Nevertheless, what we can say is as follows. First of all, we say, I accept this principle because rationally, that's how I reached it. I believe in it because I believe in the Torah. Nevertheless, I believe I have a certain, but once I accept it as the Torah, now I want to try and understand it. I can speculate as to what the rationale or part of the rationale may be in order to try and get people to identify with that. And I can get other people to potentially agree with my position if I tell them. But at the end of the day, I have to admit that but whether my rationale, my explanation is right or wrong, that has no effect on the truth of the Torah. The truth of the Torah says what it says, and that's what we accept. But if a person, and therefore, whenever any suggestion that I offer is just that, it's just merely a suggestion, it's not a declaration of this is how it is. Because if you come along and you say the reason the Torah forbade it is X, Y, and Z, so you have a bit of a problem, because people will come along maybe with scientific evidence, with rational arguments that will contradict your position, and in the end, maybe you're wrong, maybe you were wrong. And then they'll come along and say that the Torah is not moral in its approach. So therefore, you have to be very careful about how you communicate it, that really the basis of our trust is we think that ultimately the world will come to see things our way one day. But at this point in time, we live in a period of Hester Panim, where Hashem's presence is hidden and the truth is somewhat hidden, and therefore it doesn't always look that way. It looks like the rational approaches to these issues might be superior to the Torah, but we think that it's not that man has advanced since the Torah, but rather the Torah has always guided man to advance, and man one day has not yet reached the stage where his own value system properly aligns with Torah. That time will come, and at that point in time, people will catch up to the Torah's way of thinking. But that's something that will take time, and maybe it's not even possible in our current existence. Maybe that's something that will require Gilui Shechina, Hashem's revelation of truth in the world, before people are able to understand that concept. So this is something we have to appreciate. So just to summarize what we've said today, in terms of the relationship between religion and morality, so first of all, First of all, let's just start with the point we just made, which is that the Torah's system of morality, even though human beings have their own individual conscience, that conscience has validity because we're created in the image of God, that we have that conscience. Nevertheless, it has to be trained, it has to be nurtured in using Torah principles in order to align it with an objective sense of morality. And that's what the Torah seeks to do. And you can't rely on human beings' own rational faculties to reach the conclusion by themselves without that signpost of the Torah to direct it. That's the first point that we made. The second idea is that of the Malbim, that even if you have a moral system that's not based on Torah, that is moral, and the people are behaving morally, there is no guarantee that they will be able to stay moral in the face of temptation if they don't have Yirat Shamayim, if they don't have fear of heaven, so then maybe they will succumb to temptation. Now, the truth is, you might say, a person who believes in Hashem might also succumb to temptation, but what's the problem? The problem is that they don't have Yirat Shamayim. The problem is that they don't have that sense of awe that everything they do is being seen by Hashem, is in front of Hashem, and therefore they need to work on that quality. So both of them have the same problem. It's not yes religion, no religion. The problem is yes Yirat Shamayim or no Yirat Shamayim. And in that case, both a religious person who sins and a non-religious person who succumbs to temptation, both of them are lacking that necessary quality of Yirat Shamayim. All right, on that note, I just want to wish everyone Shabbat Shalom, and looking forward to speaking to you at other podcasts. Kol Tov.